Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Last week we spoke on King David, certainly a type of Christ, and showing what God does with a man in spite of the man himself. Today, it's been on my mind since I got home last week to speak about another man that God blessed, that God loved. And we know that God loved us with an everlasting love, so therefore there was not ever a time that God did not love this man. And if you love God, there's never been a time that God did not love you. We must understand in true doctrine, which by the way needs to be taught and proclaimed in this land that we live, to his people and all through this world to his people. Only God's people will have this. Only God's people will receive this. But they ought to be taught this because it is true doctrine. That way, by the Spirit of God, God's people could freely worship God in the true knowledge of what God has done for us. Well, look at the man Jacob this week. We find in Genesis 25, I guess I'll start in verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac, of course, was the seed that God promised to Abraham. You can see nothing in that but the purpose of God and God at work and his grace and his mercy, because Abraham and Sarah were both barren, past childbearing age, and God put life in their loins, and from him that was as good as dead, because he could not bring forth seed, and her whose womb was dead, empty, past bearing age, that God brought forth the child who he promised, which was Isaac. And we realize that Isaac was nothing more than a type of Christ and teaching us of Christ, who would come into this world by the hand of God, by the power of God, for the purpose of God. But to get on with the text of Jacob, we find in verse 20, Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, and he was a sister to Laban the Syrian. God keeps things in families. Now we can turn to Matthew 1, and we can turn to Luke, and we can find the generations of Jesus Christ given through each of their parents and for different reasons. Not going to dwell on that today, just to make the point that God keeps things in families. When God gave the land to Israel, he had Moses divide it by tribes, by families. That teaches us the purpose of God. That teaches us the power of God. That teaches us of the election of God. As Paul tells us in the 11th chapter of Romans, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election obtained it. It's called the election of grace. It's the unmerited love and favor of God upon those whom he chose to love in the realm of eternity before he ever created the earth or man upon it. But we find that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Just as Sarah was barren, Rebekah was barren. And God is the giver of life. In fact, Christ said, I am the way, the life. He is the life and the truth and the resurrection. He is our life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But to make that point that God would take this empty womb and cause it to conceive and bring forth fruit, that is the power of God. There's no way to have life but in God. There's no way to have a blessing but in God. God is greater than all. The less is always blessed of the greater. God is the greater. But Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. He knew where to go, did he not? Petition the Lord. Petition the Lord. Pray. Pray. Ask and you shall receive. And another important note to that, the Lord himself said, is as you stand praying, forgive. But we see the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She conceived of children. Not just one, but Scripture tells us two. And notice what is happening in her womb. And notice the purpose of God. Notice the power of God. Notice the wisdom of God and what God would tell her before these children ever came forth from the womb. Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? I can remember my wife carrying both of my children, and they would move. Children naturally move in the womb. But there was a difference in these children. I can tell you that because the Bible teaches us that. And the King James Bible is the only truth we have in this world. They struggled against each other while they were in her womb. They fought against each other while they were in her womb. And she went to inquire of the Lord, why am I thus? Why is this happening? And the Lord said unto her, listen, two nations are in thy womb. We would come forth and have the nation of Israel, and we would have the nation of Edom, which is Esau. This is the work of God. This is the hand of God, and God very plainly teaches us here that it is His sovereign right to choose and to save whom He chooses and He saves. I'm quite fond of going to the 6th chapter of John and making the point that He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, because it plainly proves in the New Testament that God sent His Son into the world, as Matthew 1:21 says, to save His people from their sins. His people were not better than anybody. His people were, in fact, as bad by their own nature. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 2:1, another one I love to quote, according as He has saved us while we were dead in trespass and sins. We were dead. We had no way of moving. We had no way of life, no inclination to come to God. But yet God moved and saved us, and God sent His Son in the world to die for us and save us from our sins. We find in Romans 9, speaking of that choice of God, in verse 10, speaking as Paul is giving discourse to the Romans about the elect of God, verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. She conceived by Isaac. God caused Isaac's seed to bear life and caused her seed coming together to bear life. And there were twins within her womb. Two people, two nations. Listen to what God says. For the children, these are the two children that are within Rebekah. This is giving to us as an example of God's power, of God's right, of God's purpose to choose whom He chose to choose. A lot of people say, that's not fair. Well, God didn't do anything to the non-elect. God left them right where they sat in their own sinful nature they inherited from Adam. God did nothing unrighteous. God did nothing unfair. God chose to save, and save God did His people. For the children being not yet born, this is Jacob and Esau, neither having done any good or evil. It wasn't because of their evil, and believe me, we'll talk about that, Lord willing. Jacob had plenty of evil. Jacob was a sinner. Hadn't done any good or evil. They weren't even born yet. They were in the womb of their mother. And yea, in fact, God moved this and worked this before they were conceived in their mother, because He moved it and He worked it before He ever created the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4 teaches us that. Neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, it's not here to save mankind. It's not here to save any who would come. It's here to save whosoever the Lord our God shall call, and He only calls His people, Jew and Gentile. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder, Esau, shall serve the younger. Now in 2 Samuel, I'm going to go ahead and give you this now. In 2 Samuel, you will see David put garrisons in Edom. This is the nation of Esau. And you will see that David had power, and they are all of Edom. And garrison is a trap. All of Edom were made to serve David. Specifically, what that means is they all had to pay tribute unto David. They all had to pay taxes unto David. And they would all serve Israel under that time. Now, as we get into Jacob and talking about a little farther, we'll see that they came forth from that, because he said that you would break the yoke upon your neck, and they did that against Solomon. But let me stay with the text for now. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He didn't say, I love Jacob's righteousness. Jacob was not righteous. Jacob was a sinner from the descendant of Adam. He happened to be very blessed in the fact that he had nothing to do with it. God loved him and God chose him because it pleased God to do so. This is and was the purpose of God. It was then, it is now, it was from before the foundation of the world. When God agreed upon it between the covenant of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it was as good as done then. Well, when did God agree on it? God has never established a time that he agreed upon it. God is eternal. God has always known all things, and therefore it has always in eternity been, period. Finite mind cannot understand that, but God's ways are higher than our ways, as the heavens are above the earth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved. Why? Because it pleased God to love Jacob. But Esau have I hated. He's just told us they're not born yet. They haven't done any good or evil. They're struggling within their mother's womb. But yet I have loved Jacob. And we'll get into that again in a moment when we get back to the text in Genesis. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Very quickly, God forbid. How dare man judge God? How dare men stand in what's supposed to be the pulpit of the church and tell you God is unfair, or this is unsound doctrine, or this is not true, or declare something that is not true, that God offered salvation. God did not offer salvation. God bought you. He provided. He brought salvation. Zechariah 9:9, he is lowly and just and bringeth salvation with him. Christ brought salvation to his people. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, on whom and I will have compassion of on whom I will have compassion. He has mercy on those he chose. He has compassion on those he chose. He always has had. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's why John said in John 1, those who received him, those who, as the text gives in John, laid hold upon him in an intimate sense of the word as family, laying hold upon our brother, our elder brother, our Savior, our God, our King. Those who received him were not made so because of their choice or because of blood or because of lineage or because of Abraham or Moses or Isaac or this man Jacob. It was all because they're chosen of God and they are born of the Spirit of God. In verse 14, he tells us about that, because the living Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, back to the text. The Lord said unto her, two nations, Israel, Edom, are in thy womb. And let me say this before I move farther. Israel in the Old Testament is revealed to us as a nation that God would drive out the inhabitants of Canaan because of their sins, back to Noah. Back to Ham, cursed shall be his seed. Because of their sin, God would drive them out of Canaan, and God would give this land unto his people. The physical nation of Israel, which are the descendants of the man Jacob, and I'm coming back to him in a moment, that God would drive out and give to these people. That was manifested to us in the Old Testament, that we might see and understand as we live in this temporal body of flesh. It is sin, therefore it must be laid down. It is temporal. That they were God's people. But the new Israel in the New Testament is every chosen child of God, all the elect of God, that God the Father gave to God the Son, the living Word of God, before He ever created the earth. Those are the ones He died for He shall save His people from their sins. That's not the nation of Israel that was physical. That is the nation of Israel which is spiritual. Now, two manner of people shall be separated. Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. These are two men. These are two men. This is pointing in types and shadows to God separating His people from the world. This is pointing in types and shadows to Matthew 25:31, when the Son of Man shall appear in His glory and shall separate them one from another as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That is on the day of the resurrection and the general judgment, and the children of God entering into heaven in immortal glory, and the goats being cast into the lake of fire. But in this text, there are two people, just as Paul is teaching us in Romans 9. This is given to us an example that we might know and understand the sovereign right and power and purpose of God to love whom He loves. Two manner of people. Those that God loves, Israel, and those that God hates. Not that He hated his sin. He hated Jacob's sin. God didn't say, I hate Esau's sin and love Jacob's sin. He didn't say, I love Jacob's righteousness, for standing alone, Jacob had no righteousness, for there's none that sinneth not, and we've all come short of the glory of God. He said, Jacob have I loved. Esau, this is God speaking, have I hated. God hated Esau. God hated Edom. Edom exists no more, and for that statement, I'll also say physical Israel exists no more. I don't care what they did back in the 40s, founding that nation and calling it Israel. God said the end of all Israel is come before me. That was culminated in the destruction of Jerusalem. And in the eyes of God, Israel exists no more as a physical nation. He took away the first, the physical nation, that He may establish the second, the spiritual Israel. He took away old Israel, the covenant of the law, and all of that when He fulfilled it in Jesus Christ and established the new, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the kingdom of God. Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. You want to preach works? You cannot do it here. They'll be separated. Who separates them? Well, who separates us from the world? Jesus Christ. Who will separate us at the last day? Sheep from the goats. Sheep are God's children. He is the good shepherd. Who shall separate them? Jesus Christ. That's the work of God, not the work of man. Two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And if we get that far, we're going into a little of that, Lord willing. But I want you to understand up front, Jacob is the stronger. Why? Because God was his strength. They came into Canaan conquering nations, conquering cities, conquering kings. When they obeyed God and walked with God, God blessed them. And when they turned away and disobeyed God, God still kept them as the apple of His eye, and God still blessed them. By the way, David was the man after God's own heart, we spoke about last week, who sits upon the throne of Christ, but Jacob is the apple of His eye. He is God's treasure. We are God's treasure. That's why He says in Zephaniah, we're as crowns and throne, as jewels in the crown of God. Now, one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. 2 Samuel 8, God gave Edom to David. He ruled over them. I think it's 1 Kings 7, I believe, that the king of Edom rebelled against Solomon, and they broke loose from that bondage. Jacob will tell that in the blessing of Esau. After this righteous man, righteous man, not hardly, Jacob stole his brother's blessing. Verse 24, new text, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. She had two children. God would separate them. One God loved, one God hated. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment. And they called his name Esau, which means red. And after that came his brother out. Catch what he is going to do. If you do not think man's nature is rebellion and sinful, this child is still in his mother's womb. His brother is born first. And what does his... Esau was born first, and his brother Jacob, supplanter, deceiver, liar, cheater, that's what the word means. His brother reached and took him by the heel to supplant him while he's still in his mother's womb. God uses this to teach us of his strength with God. But nonetheless, the fact is, even in his mother's womb, he is a sinner. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, deceiver, supplanter. And Isaac was 60 years old when she buried him. Let's finish this part of the text, and I'll move forward to another. Speaking of Jacob, all these denominations in the world will tell you, you've got to be good, you've got to be righteous, you've got to work, work, work. We should be good. I think Paul said it's important that the children of God should maintain good works. It gives glory to God. It gives glory to Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. But you saw last week with David, no matter what we do, God will not forsake us. God chose us for a purpose. God loves us for a purpose. God will fulfill his purpose. And that will be fulfilled when each and every one of us enters into the land of heaven and immortal glory, never to sin again, body and spirit, our soul, both together with him in heaven forever and ever and ever. Now, what's the purpose of that? To worship him who loves us and desires a people to love. He provided a people to love. After that came his brother out. He took hold upon him. He was 60 years old when she bare them, and the boys grew. We're passing time. What happened in that time? It's not important. If it was, God would tell us. Everything in Scripture teaches us of Christ. It teaches us of life, the power of God and purpose of God. If that was important for us to know, I don't have to go watch some TV show while some man speculates what they did, even any more than I have to go watch some TV show that teaches us what some overeducated idiot's going to tell me what Christ did while he's between the time he was born and the time he began his ministry. It's not important, or God would tell us. But the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. Now, I could relate to Esau, a man of the field. I love to hunt. I love to be outside. The fact that he's a hunter has nothing to do with him being good or evil. It has nothing to do with him being rejected and hated of God. What had something to do with him being rejected and hated of God was his own sinful nature, which he inherited from Adam, by whom sin and death entered into the world. And God did not choose to love him. God did not choose to save him. But God had chosen Jacob, and God would save Jacob, and did save Jacob, as he does every one of his children. But Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau. And I've played this over in my head for years, and I cannot go any deeper than Scripture gives us. He loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. That is a sad reason to put one before another. But even Isaac was a sinner. Isaac loved Esau. Through Scripture, you will see that Isaac calls Esau, my son, my son, my son. He always calls Jacob, thy brother, thy brother. On the other hand, Rebekah, to whom God had told the elder should serve the younger, I will separate them, I will serve the younger. I mean, I will love the younger, I will save the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. Rebecca always said, my son Jacob. and Esau thy brother. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Edom means red. Esau means red. Esau was red and hairy all over. Red skin, red hair. I believe the Bible testifies to that. Let's go back to Adam. The name Adam means red. He was made from the clay of the ground. I believe Adam had red skin. What does that teach us? Esau in the nature of Adam was red. Esau in the nature of Adam was a sinner. God did not choose him. God did not love him. God hated him and left him right where he's at in his own state of nature. Therefore, he is in the inherited sin of Adam. But Jacob, God loved. Now, let's see the righteousness of Jacob. Lord, help me. Esau's been hunting all day. He comes in. He's tired. He's faint. He's hungry. We've all been there at one point or another. He's tired. He's weak. He'd give it his right arm, as we say, for a morsel of food, as we say. Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." Now, it's obvious. Esau's a hunter. He was accustomed to meat. He loved meat, and he wanted meat. But he's so hungry, he'll settle for this red pottage that Jacob cooks. That's me thinking. "For I am faint, therefore was his name called Edom," red. And Jacob, this great man, this righteous man, as some would tell you, no. This supplanter, this deceiver who sees an opportunity to take what is rightfully by the nature of man. Let's go back to God telling Rebekah, "They'll be separated. I'll love one, hate the other." This is God fulfilling His will. Doesn't mean God caused it. Jacob's sinful nature caused it. But God works His way. He says, "Sell me this day thy birthright." You're hungry. You're starving. This is my opportunity to take what is yours by the nature of man. You being the firstborn are due double portion. You're due more than me because I am the second born. You are the firstborn. There's envy there. That's wrong. There's a covetousness there. That is wrong. Even under the law God would give to Moses. But there is a backstabbing sense working in him to take that which is rightfully his brother's by the nature of flesh. And he said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. I'm dying. I can't get up and move. I can't do anything. I am faint. I am weak. I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me if I'm dead?" He's thinking. And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he sware unto him that he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, all vegetables and bread. And even the bread is flour. That's a vegetable too, from the wheat. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. My flesh could help me to understand that. Let's talk a little more about the man Jacob and what a good man he was. He's always gotten his birthright. Deception. So much in that we could spend time talking about. Envy, lust, deceit, lying, so much. Theft. Jacob was a thief. You want proof? We'll go to chapter 27. We'll see it again. This is not a one-time thing. This is Jacob's nature. Brethren, God's the reason God called Jacob thou worm. What is a worm? Its skin is dirt. Its intestines are dirt. It is living dirt inside the dirt of the earth. What are we made from? Dirt. What have we rescinded in sin back to, or descended in sin back to? Dirt, earth, flesh, dust. We're dirt. Our nature is dirt. Our nature is the earth. We are but flesh. How could anyone not see depravity? How could anyone think that we have anything to do with eternal life and salvation? We don't even have anything to do with being able to obey God. That's all from the birth of the Spirit, because God works it in us. Then we have something to do with it by obeying God and worshiping God, but not until then. Chapter 27. Came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, he can't see. Don't you like the way the Bible makes a point of that? We find in Genesis 48 where when Jacob himself comes up to bless the sons of Joseph that his eyes are blind. He can't see. And he wittingly moves his hand in the form of a cross to bless the younger Ephraim over the elder Manasseh. Don't you see that's God's work, because we can't see and cannot do it? Now, I'm not telling you God caused the sin of Jacob here that he's about to do, but I'm telling you that God works his way in heaven and in earth. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, 27 and 1, his eyes were dim, he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said to him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old, I know not the day of mine death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Remember, Isaac loved Esau because he loved to eat of his venison. God loves us because he loves us, because he gave us to Christ, because he was pleased to love us. We love him because we have it revealed to us that he loves us. We love God because he first loved us. We serve God because we love God. And therefore we love God and we love each other because we are God's. Let's stay with the text. If I don't know when I'm going to die, I'm old. Bring me some venison and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And that's the point I want to get to. He wants to bless his son Esau with the blessing that's due the firstborn in this sense. Now the other was his birthright, and what was given to him by his birthright. Most of what his father would accumulate in life and all the things materially that go with that were his, temporal things, earthly things, by nature. Yet Jacob deceived him and took them. This is dealing with the blessing of their father. Not material things necessarily, but by having the blessing of the firstborn given to him of his father. God blesses us in Christ. Well, Rebekah heard this. Now remember, Rebekah had the knowledge from God. I can't tell you that Isaac had it or didn't have it. The Bible doesn't say, so it's not important. But I can tell you Rebekah knew, because God told her what he would do. When Rebekah heard Isaac speak to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it, and Rebekah said unto Jacob, let me paraphrase some of this. I heard thy father speak unto Esau. He said, bring me venison, make me savory meat that I may eat. She didn't care about that part. And bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, she's speaking to Jacob, because she is calling him my son. She didn't call Esau that. Obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Something just hit my mind I want to tell you. Jacob is so important to God, there's only one person mentioned in the Old Testament by the name of Jacob. That is this man. In the New Testament, we see Jacob. the grandfather of Jesus according to the flesh. None of Israel named their children Jacob. Oh, they made pagan gods in the Palestinian world, Jacobal and all these things. But God's people, there was not another Jacob mentioned in Scripture. He's that important to God, one and only. That teaches me how you are important to God, one and only person, as we are making up the body of Christ. Now, back to the text. The Lord, your father has told Esau to fetch venison, make him savory meat. She says, now you come do what I say, my son, Jacob. Go to the flock, fetch me from thence two good kids, young goats. I don't call children kids. They're not kids. A kid is a goat. My children are children. My grandchildren are grandchildren. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And you're going to take it down to your father, and you're going to give it to him, and you are going to receive the blessing. By deception, by lying, in essence, you're going to steal the blessing just as you stole the birthright. Do you think Jacob is a sinless man? Do you think he is a righteous man any more so than any man that's ever been upon the face of the earth? You think God loves this sin? God hates sin. But God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Jacob's no better than you or me. We're all on that same level in depravity. We'll all be by our nature. We'll all be in that same level in heaven, made in the image of Christ, righteous and holy without blame. Hallelujah. So, Jacob said to Rebekah, verse 11, chapter 27, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. What is he saying? He's not saying, mother, this is wrong. No. There's no guilt in it. He is afraid of being caught and bringing farther damnation upon him. That is one reason I tell you in Matthew, I believe it's 27, where he says that, this is off the point, but I'll make a point with it, where it says that Judas, seeing that he was condemned, repented himself. He was caught, he was sorrowful, and he tried to repent, but he did not repent because true repentance comes from God. Hebrews 12 will teach us in this text that Esau sent repentance with tears but could not find it. Why could he not find it? Because God hated Esau. This is not dealing with God in the aspect of his father, but what his father had blessed came from God and the blessing stood. But now listen. He says, my father will feel me. And I shall seem to him as a deceiver. I shall not bring a curse upon me, or I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Mama, he's going to catch me. Mama, I'm not Esau. He's going to feel me. He's going to hear my voice. He's going to smell me. He's going to know I'm not Esau. And then in his anger, he will call me a deceiver and he will put me away and I'll lose everything. It's all about Jacob in his mind, in his heart. It's all about Jacob. Is it not all about us by our nature? Even when we are born of the Spirit of God and quickened and given life and try to serve God, does Satan still not affect us? But it is all about us. One of the worst things can happen to the church is preachers getting jealous and mad at one another because of some foolish thing. And why does that happen? Because it's about the preacher. It's not about the Lord. And it is supposed to be about the Lord. We're supposed to preach the Lord, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Salvation is totally in the grace and power and purpose of God. Enough said. His mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment, Esau's raiment, of her eldest son Esau. She's not calling him son, Scripture is. Which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins basically what she's doing is putting Jacob in Esau's clothes. They didn't have the Maytag washing machine. These are Esau's clothes. They smell like Esau. People have their own smells. She put Esau's clothes on Jacob. She put the skins from the goats on Jacob that he would feel hairy. You want to know how hairy Esau was? Consider the hair of a goat on his skin, on what we call his hide. He's a hairy man. She put upon his neck and his arms. She gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came into his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Jacob sinned. Rebekah sinned. Both very plainly given in Scripture as children of God. They did not work their way to God. They had no righteousness of their own. Everything they have is a blessing of God. It's all in the blood of the God's Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. "Here am I." He hears the voice. "Ah, this is Jacob." And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, and sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless thee." A little bit of thinking. Scripture gives you the right, as long as you stay with Scripture. Nobody was there when Isaac, who could not see, blessed, told Esau to do this. He didn't know Rebekah had heard. "Since this child has come with it, what would you think? Perhaps this is Esau. This must be Esau." Nobody heard it but Esau. "And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord thy God brought it to me.'" Whoa! Back up, time out. Can we say blasphemy against God? Can we say sin, sin, sin? Not only am I deceiving you and all those that say God created sin, you listen to this part. Not only am I deceiving you, not only am I stealing from my brother, not only am I in cohorts with my mother to take the blessing, I've already got the birthright, but now I'm laying it to God that God delivered me and helped me. God brought me this. Your God, my Father, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, who hath revealed himself unto you, hath brought this venison speedily to me. That is blasphemy to say that God was in his sin. It is blasphemy to say that God ordained or created sin. God made everything good and upright, and God suffers sin until the last promised heir of God he gave to Christ is born of the Spirit of God, and then sin will be no more, for he will deliver up the kingdom. Now, "The Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not.'" You sound like Jacob. But Jacob wasn't here, and he was correct. Jacob went near unto Isaac. Isaac felt it. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau, the hair on his hand. "And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, and his brothers, as his brothers Esau's hands, so he blessed him." Jacob deceived his very father. Do we not try to deceive God? Has that not always been the case of a child of God? Maybe the Lord won't see. Maybe the Lord won't know. God sees all, God knows all. God condemning Edom and Obadiah said, "The Lord doesn't see. We've hidden ourselves in the clefts of the rock, and the rocks, the cliffs of the rocks." God sees all. Nothing is hid from God, and we certainly cannot hide from God. Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. He smelled Esau's clothing and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Just think about the difference in Esau, who's always in the field, the smell of his clothes, and Jacob, who's always in camp and very properly smelled of fire and other things. Therefore God, this is the blessing which by nature from the man Isaac, he would give this blessing to his oldest son. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven. Let me tell you, our blessing is not in this blessing that Jacob deceived his father and obtained. This is dealing with two men that God uses to teach us it is his right and purpose to choose who to love and who not to. But regarding Isaac blessing his son, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. And we see that happening with Israel, who is Jacob. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. That brings forth Esau bowing down to him, serving him. 2 Samuel 8. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. I'm going to tell you, God respects those he loves and their wishes. And I say that to make this point. Esau was condemned and Jacob was blessed, even though it was by deception, because his father blessed him. God respected that, as God allowed Edom, or caused Edom to fall to David, and then allowed him again, as he'll say to Esau, that they broke the yoke of the bondage against Solomon. God blessed Noah. Cursed shall be Canaan and his sons. That was the sons of Ham. God drove them out of Canaan. That ended with Israel. That promise is not there anymore, because that land of promise is gone. That physical land is gone. It's now spiritual. It's teaching us that God drives out the enemies within us. But my point to tell you that is that God blesses and respects those who love him and seek to obey him. And that is reason enough in the mortal, sinful eyes of man, who is all me, 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 to serve God, is that he does bless us when we obey him. But we serve and love and obey God because we love him, and that's because he first loved us. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That's the same thing he said to Abraham. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. One goes out, the other comes in. Can you think about what his father felt? And he also had made savory meat and brought it into his father. He brought the meat, said, Father, arise, eat of my venison and bless me. Isaac, you can imagine. He can't see. You just blessed your son and ate of his venison. Now your son is coming back saying, bless me. Isaac realizes he's been deceived. He says, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. This is a sin of Jacob. He caused his father great distress. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? That is a great motivation. When I was a child, there were things I would not do because it would disappoint my father. That's just a fact of love. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where's he that had taken venison brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. It will stand. I have blessed him. When Esau heard the words of his father, fixed to move the text, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother, didn't call him Jacob, thy brother came with subtlety and have taken away thy blessing. Listen to Esau. Is not he rightly named Jacob? Supplanter, cheater, deceiver, a thief. He stole his birthright. Now he has stolen his blessing. For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Now we'll get to this point and move on. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I now do unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing? Bless me also. And Esau wept, he cried. And Isaac blessed him with a blessing, said, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword, here's a great difference, by thy sword shalt thou live. That's not in Jacob's blessing. By thy sword shalt thou live. Now they fought by the sword, and as Moses told them the whole time, the Lord thy God fighteth for thee. And I'll bring that to today's terms. We do not fight with swords. God fights for us. God is within us, God leads us, God cares for us, God fights for us against the forces of nature and ourself. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother, back to David, back to Solomon, and it shall come to pass, and thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. I'm going to move very quickly to another text. We know that Esau sought to kill Jacob, and Jacob was sent away by his mother to take a wife. We'll get into that another time. Right now, I want to dwell just another moment on the nature of Jacob. As Jacob is getting ready to leave Laban after 20 years of service, seven for Leah, which was originally for... He served seven for Rachel and was given Leah, and then he served seven more for Rachel, all the children he had from them, and the bondmaids and the handmaids and concubines, might as well say, and the blessings of God upon him through all that, because he was also taken advantage of, Jacob, from Laban. But the time has come after 20 years that he is leaving. And he comes up to Jacob and he's talking about leaving, and Jacob tries to persuade him not to leave, and you've got this and this and this at my hand. And Jacob tells him, I've done all this for you. You've changed my wages 10 times. You've cheated me. I served for one. You gave me the other. Then you give me the other. I've been here 20 years. You've changed my wages 10 times. And they made a pact that when Jacob left, that he would take all the ring-straight and spotted goats and sheep to himself, and Laban would keep the other. Now, the ring-straight and spotted would be something I think would be called blemished. But my point with this is that Jacob deliberately went to great measures to deceive Laban by what he did with the food, and by selecting the strongest of them to do that with and to breed. Jacob deliberately stole from Laban another place of him stealing and being a thief and showing forth the depravity of mankind. Now, as I close with the last 3 minutes, we see the nature of Jacob, but then we see the power of God. Jacob wrestled with God to the breaking of the day. Jacob means wrestle with, and God wrestles. God touched the hollow of his thigh, and that's the only reason he changed from what he was to what he became. God touched the hollow of his thigh, caused him to limp, because when God moves with his people, he must by needs hurt them because they are sin and their pain is in turning from sin to God, which God does by his very presence. He changed his name from Jacob to Israel. He went from being a supplanter to a prince with God. This man who had deceived and been in the same nature of every man, woman, and child that's ever been conceived in the womb. God took and God changed. God blessed him. God made him the patriarch of the 12 sons of Jacob. And oh, we can talk about righteousness. Read the first chapter of Matthew. There's a harlot in first couple of verses. We can talk about their mothers being handmaids and slaves and concubines. We can talk about our nature. We must certainly come to realize that the true doctrine of God gives glory to God and to God alone in the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, who came into this world into likeness of sinful flesh. To do what? To save his people from their sins. He had no sin, yet he hanged upon the cross of Calvary. His body became sin for us. He separated us from the world, just as he separated Jacob from Esau. He separated us from death and hell, just as he separated Jacob from Esau, and will separate us on the last day into heaven and immortal glory, and the goats into the lake of fire, just as he separated Jacob from Esau. He made this man blessed. He gave him many rich things, which are to us blessings, spiritual. And he blessed him, and he loved him, and he exalted him. And that's what he does for us today, and will do forever and ever and ever. Because Jacob, my friend, is you. You are spiritual Israel.